Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Arimple, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, GCSEs, VJ Day, and high school stories. To try and give you a taste of this and some of the other news that's been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at imtoday.co.im, I'm joined by news hound Sam Turton.
Hello.
And distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
Plus, breaking news, we're back up to four. Welcome along, Emma.
Hi.
Emma Draper.
We found our Ringo.
Found our Ringo?
Yeah, fourth member of the Beatles.
That's a bit harsh.
But I don't want to be Ringo.
No, but he was the last member to join.
Yeah.
And he works successfully in Thomas the Tank Engine a lot longer than the rest of them.
And he's really cool.
Wow.
He's the drummer. They're always cool.
They are always the underrated member
they
of the
are.
Band.
Emma is joining us at Alamo Newspapers Towers for some work experience. How have you found it so far, Emma?
Really, really fun.
Really
enjoyed it.
How much did Sam pay you to say that?
Look, I could afford to pay somebody else.
Well, we could talk about your jackpot win later.
Let's not.
Yes, so lots to talk about this week. Sam, good week. You're looking radiant today, actually.
Ah, yeah, it's all right.
Your Manx tan's coming along nicely.
Yeah, it is, actually, isn't it? I mean, what I've started doing now is even, like, just keep my arms out in the rain. Like, I was down Colby last night for footy, and it was cold and wet and windy.
And you still had your arms out?
Yeah.
Right. Were you playing, or...?
No, just down, watching, updating the socials.
All about the socials. Good week, Katie?
Yeah, just to comment on Sam at the moment, we were saying before he seems in a happy mood this week, but that goes hand in hand with if he's getting more vitamin D every day.
I wondered what you were going to say there. Vitamin D, there you go. Who knew that's a secret?
I thought it was Sunny D was the secret to happy life, but it turns
out Sunny D, do you remember? And there was a big period where that, like, everyone drunk it religiously and then found out it was absolutely laced to the top.
Turned children
sugar.
Orange.
Yeah.
I'd just like to say that I've never heard of this.
It shows you how young you are, Emma.
Don't feel old, it's fine.
Katie, what was your favourite Sunny D flavour? Because I feel this is a...
I can remember when I was little, there was only two flavours you had, Florida or California.
I was a Florida man.
What?
Yeah,
they named
two.
Them after US states.
It's because it was American.
Because of where the oranges, whether they were real
as
or
in
not,
oranges
were coming from.
Commerce.
Yes, yeah. So wherever the orange flavourings were coming from, I imagine.
There was one that was more popular than the other, wasn't there?
I think California was better. I think it was like a darker orange.
And then didn't they throw in another fruit at one point, like a sort of tropical flavour?
Yes, I think so.
Sunny D. Is it still a thing?
Well, I don't think so.
I did see it. Do you know what? I think I'll tell you where I saw it. My favourite shop on the island. Other shops are available. Foxdale Garage shop, right?
So they're very lovely on the phone.
They sell. Because they sell like ridiculously for various things, but also... They do like Britvic now. They do like the blackcurrant flavoured water, but it's actually blackcurrant water, so it's like, you know, squash. They're doing their own one of them. But they do Sunny D.
Wow. So there, you heard it here first. The only man in Fields in Foxdale has Sunny D, possibly from that time that they've just never sold. So please do check the expiration date before you drink it. Big news this week, though, of course, Katie, was the Picture Your Pep supplement.
It's the best supplement of the year, in my opinion.
Aside from 451.
Exactly.
Still Picture Your Pet or 451.
Oh, what about the one we do at Christmas with all the
little stars?
Yeah,
where they're in the nativity. That's pretty fun. I just know the trauma that leads the photographer to have.
Yeah,
because
have you
it's
noticed
just
that
non-stop?
Down the years, it's become a lot more like Love Actually, and there's been like weird animals,
like lobsters,
creep in the stable.
So Picture Your Pet, for those people that stupidly don't know, is the most amazing feature, isn't it?
Yep, it's brilliant. So in this week's Manx Independent, you've got 8 pages, which is 95 different pictures of people's pets on the island, and they include dogs and cats and hamsters. I think there's a ferret, there's some horses. There's a
terrapin called Big Mama.
There you go.
I thought it was a tortoise.
I thought it was, well, I think it's a terrapin looking at it.
I can see you, when you're a little bit older and you're shunning the mainstream lifestyle, that you might get a ferret.
So ferrets, are they illegal or is that just in the USA?
I think that's just in the US.
Yeah, okay. There's loads of ferrets over here.
Yeah.
But so there's...
I don't know if I breed ferrets called codger.
There used to be a point, and again, this is probably a very old cultural reference, where people used to keep ferrets down their trousers.
Yeah.
What, like Compo in Last of Some Wine?
Yeah. I was going to go for, like, what happened to Draco Malfoy in Harry Potter.
I've never seen Harry Potter.
What? Oh, I do remember that, yeah. You get turned into a ferret.
And then he goes down yeah. thingy's trousers. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Do the kids even know about ferrets? Who knew? Right, so yeah, I can see you with a ferret. What would you call it?
I see Sam as having pigeons, homing pigeons, that he visits on a roof terrace.
What would I call a ferret? I'd probably call it like, I don't know.
Call it Draco Malfoy. Alfred.
Alfred?
Alfred the ferret. Why? I just like the name Alfred. I'd probably call the dog Alfred as well. Greengrass's dog was called Alfred.
To be fair, he is your style icon, isn't he? So,
wish I was that stylish.
I can see you actually strongly contemplating maybe getting some pigeons or ferrets now,
yeah.
Racing ferrets.
You can't race pigeons.
You can.
There you go.
He's a natural
thing. I call it Jack and Vera Duckworth after, you know, from Coronation Street, because Jack had pigeons.
He did have pigeons, yeah.
Duncan Ferguson, former Everton forward, now first in coach, was a famed pigeon fancier as well.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the exact
Then there's term. The Pigeon Detectives.
The band, the popular early noughties band from
They'll
Leeds.
They'll be at the Villa soon, won't they?
Yeah.
I think they've already been over, you know.
Have they?
I'm sure they were over a few years
ago. Do you know what? That rings a bell. I think you might be right on that one.
Well, enough reminiscing about former bands and potential pets. What's this first news story this week, of course, is GCSEs. Last week we had the A-level results. This week we've had GCSE results. It's been all over the news, hasn't it? Nationally and, of course, here as well. Were they predicted grades? Weren't they predicted grades? So you fill us in now, Sam. You went to Balquhoun this morning to speak to the kids, speak to the teachers and everything.
Well, the thing is, I wish we could start this morning. We've got to go back and start on Monday night. Well, we could start the week before, but everyone knows happened the week before, the absolute shambles that was the A-level results, which led to Monday evening when, of course, we then had Cambridge come out and said that all A-level and GCSE results that they produced, which was Cambridge International's exam board, would be the teacher assessment or higher. So what we got this weird situation where students kind of knew what their grades were going to be today, because obviously they were going off teacher assessments, which were based on... I think they were combining coursework and mocks and general sort of how they are in schools. I think that was the idea behind that. So this morning we went to Balquhoun and they've got their results there, which I think they were saying were definitely up on last year. They were up slightly on last year, but they've added the caveat in themselves of while how they've assessed students themselves is rigorous, they've said that admittedly... it's impossible to know how some of the students would have reacted under exam pressure. Because, you know, every year there's always that student who pulls it out of the bag, they're sailing through to 4Ds, and suddenly they're going, I've got 8 A's, and 12 B's, and a ferret. Whereas now they've got, like, and then you get the there's also the other person who should be getting B's, and they walk out with 8 D's, and you look at them and go, what happened? So
67 Pro Plus.
Yeah.
We've all seen the In-Betweens episode.
Yeah.
But the feeling was generally quite positive today.
There was a girl at Balquhoun there, she got 12 A stars. It was 12 A stars and an A, but then the A wasn't like a GCSE, it was a distinction in further maths. And it was like, okay, so.
Further maths? I know. Could you imagine trying to take that exam?
I can barely add maths, let alone adding additionally.
Do you remember the amazing game show on Channel 4 that was 15 to 1?
Yes.
The one with Sandy Tartovic.
No,
she bought it back at one stage.
William G. Stewart, who I think also produced the programme, fans. But it was an amazing show where they essentially... It was general knowledge, basically.
Did they do a celebrity version of that?
They probably did a celebrity... Everything's had a celebrity version. but they also did a kids one, and it was always like really bright kids. A bit like University Challenge, but for younger children. And they were always doing further maths or GCSE in Russian just for SAGs, you know, because everyone else does French, Spanish, or German, or Italian, or you know, or even Chinese is now quite common, isn't it? Or Mandarin.
Yeah.
But these lads were doing Russian, just you know, why not? You know, but I can imagine that further maths was always one of those subjects that was just thrown tagged on the end. Oh yeah, I'm not happy enough with just maths. I want to do further maths.
You can do it at A-level as well, because I know people that do, like, chemistry, biology, physics, maths, and then further maths.
Just haven't got enough to do
that. Are they being taught how to add the additional 8?
It's, like, extra stuff that you don't actually need in real life.
Like, the numbers, the pi numbers, they probably know even more.
Yeah, they probably know, like, the entirety of pi.
Because I always think, to me, them sort of ones are always like, do you remember what's University Challenge? Are they playing, like, you know, like, Bach and all that? And you're sat there going... That's Beethoven, that is. Because you're just having fun. Yeah. And they're getting after like three chords. Yeah. And then they play, oh, it's pop music round, and they'll be playing like Katy Perry, I Kissed a Girl, and they're all sat there like, I have no idea, do you have no idea? What could this, I don't know. Oxford Books, is it Madonna? And they've got no clue, they've got no clue at all. That's how I feel talking to some of these kids this morning.
But the key with University Challenge is to only ever answer a question if you know you're right. So then everyone you're watching it with is like, oh, look at this person.
Yeah. I watched one episode on it. It was like classical plays, like Shakespeare plays turned into films. I got every single one.
That is
because I knew
round.
The modern versions. Because it was like The Taming of the Shrew was 10 Things They Hate About You. And none of them knew it. Do you when you scream at the TV because you know the answer? I was like, yes.
By far the best way to watch University Challenges on iPlayer, having watched it first. Like, then when I watch it with my wife and stepson and stuff, they think I'm an absolute genius.
For extra points, learn a few facts about the answers.
She doesn't listen to this, does she?
No.
That's okay.
She doesn't listen to any of my podcasts. It's a thorny subject in my marriage. But before we move on from the exam results, BTECs, Sam. Now, obviously, we've had A-levels, we've had GCSEs, a lot of kids are doing BTECs now, aren't they?
So we thought it was all over and done with, you know, we thought we'd finally got past this absolute mess, which, by the way, is completely the fault of Gavin Williamson, the Conservative Secretary of State for Education. So we thought we'd finally got past it, but then, so last week the A-level equivalent to BTECs, level 3, didn't come out. And then this week, at 4:30 yesterday afternoon, they announced that the level 1s and 2s wouldn't be coming out either. I remember it at Balcomy, and she told us that they literally, you know, it was the case of they had the envelopes sealed with the students' results in, and they had to go around and find them all and pick them out and do them again, effectively, to just not say, oh, by the way, these aren't final results because they've withdrawn them. It's a mess. I mean, you know, it's been a weird year, let's face it. You know, we can all admit it's been a bizarre, bizarre year. Mm. But this is just sort of like, you look at, you know, they've had months, you know, when the exams got cancelled, wasn't it like March?
Yeah.
It was dead early on.
Yeah, April.
But they've just completely made a shambles of this. And
you have to say, though, Sam, there's been no precedent for this, ever.
No,
but when they've had, what are we now, October, they've had August.
Yeah.
I've lost several months.
They've had 5 or 6 months to get to this stage, and they've made a complete mess of it. Yeah. And, you know, they've eventually gone, oh, yeah, what we said we weren't going to do, we're going to do. So BTEC, I imagine they're going to do like a bingo draw or something now.
Like a raffle.
We'll have to wait and see. There's stories, there's articles on that in this week's, all three papers this week, wasn't it, I think?
We've got
A-levels in the Examiner. We have some GCSE stuff in the Courier, and I'm pretty sure not in the Independent. So
I think we had a bit of a follow-up to what had happened on Monday night, because of course the Examiner had gone to bed on Monday, at which point we then got told that the A-levels are being changed. So it's been a fast-pacing, moving week.
Yes, it has. Changing the subject completely, Emma, for this week's next news story. We talk about the VJ celebrations at Castletown Railway Station. There was loads of pictures from it in the Examiner this week. It looked like a jolly good day.
I know, that's why I thought it'd be really fun to talk about. So, Friends of Castletown Railway Station organised this afternoon to celebrate Victory in Japan and the Victory in Europe Day, and to help raise money for the station because it's currently undergoing works.
Restoration, yep.
Yes. Yeah, and it just looked like a really fun sort of afternoon, and they had the WI, because they're everywhere. Mm. But they're every single fundraising event, I'm pretty sure, on the island. They made jams and preserves, and because there is a difference to them. I had to Google that.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
What's the difference?
So, okay, I might get them mixed up, because I wrote this a while ago. But a preserve has more chunks of fruit in it than a jam.
Oh.
So a jam has like little bits, so just like floating around. Whereas like a preserve has like bigger actual chunks of fruit. So if it's like strawberries, it would have like half or whole strawberries in it, or if it's raspberries. Whereas
a jam
is more like blended.
Ah, so it's like solid fruit ratios.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's like why you prefer the maths coming in.
Why does marmalade come into it?
Marmalade isn't a jam or a preserve. I think it's its own little thing.
Oh, okay.
Wow. It's like we need a Venn
diagram. Lady Marmalade in the middle.
Yeah.
So, but there was also, I noticed there was singing, there was band, the Southern Bells.
Southern Bells, right. I went I googled them, so I had to do a Facebook search for them because I wasn't sure like what kind of thing they did. But they sang some songs by Vera Lynn and Glenn Miller, and I did some research into him because I wasn't sure if he spelled his name right. So I ended up on his Wikipedia page, and it turns out that he was conscripted. Is that right?
Yep.
Into the American Air Force, and he was flying from England to Paris, and he got lost over the Channel, and he was never found.
Wow.
I know, right? And now there's a conspiracy theory. There's so many conspiracy theories. Like one of them that he was like, Eisenhower sent him to Germany to make a peace treaty. He never made it back. And there's some like that he landed in the sea and he never drowned. There's like all sorts. It's great. It's
very Netflix.
That is.
I know, yeah.
I'm just trying to work out.
And then, it gets better,
there's a dedicated group. I can't remember what they're called, who are trying to find his body, but they're also the group that are adamant that Amelia Earhart is still alive, and they're trying to find them as her as
big,
well.
Big enthusiasts of plane conspiracy theories.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Wow. But they also had Lindy Hopping dancing.
Yes, they did. And they are, there's also some information about them as well. That was really fun, though. I've never tried Lindy Hopping dancing.
No. What's the style? Is there a...
It's 1940s, and it was really, really popular back then. It was kind of like a development of sort of like dance styles from like the 1920s and through the 30s and into the 40s. And the group that was putting it on actually have a little club thing, and they sort of have, I guess, like nights of it where they can teach you how to dance.
Is it as popular, like learning classic, like swing dancing? And
well, they're dancing on the platform, and it looked pretty good for them.
We did at one point ask photographer Dave Rundown got pictures. Mm. I believe he asked one of the Home Guard members what his name was. Mm. His captain just shouted, "Don't tell him, Pike."
Well, that's the other point. There was a lot of people in uniform and costume, some Home Guard and various other things. So the pictures are really good. We put some on our social media, but the rest of them are in the Examiner this week, so please do have a look.
So if anybody's really into vintage clothes, I really recommend you have a look. Yeah. There's some really good stuff.
So the Examiner is still available in shops, but of course online at iontoday.co.im/subscribe.cfm. That's the one!
Or just click digital editions.
Yeah, if you want to be that, you can do that as well. Right, this week's sports story involves the current air bridge between here and Guernsey. Douglas took the opportunity to go and play Guernsey Raiders. Douglas Rugby Club, I should say, took the opportunity to go play Guernsey Raiders on Saturday, and they got beaten 84-17. Now, everyone's going, wow, that's a bit of a hammering. But Guernsey Raiders play two levels above Douglas. So Douglas are already in quite a high league and playing the highest league of any of the Max teams currently playing off Ireland. But yes, Guernsey Raiders are two divisions above them and they made their class show. But the reason I brought it up, Sam, is because a couple of clips from it have gone viral, haven't they?
Yeah, a clip from, what was he referred to as, Little Hooker, wasn't it?
Yeah, which I thought was quite patronising. It was Douglas's Carl Markle Ferns.
Yeah, who the ball got played out to him. Was it played inside or outside?
I think it broke from a mould, didn't it?
Broke out from a mould. Douglas nicked it, or they stole it, went down. I think it was played onto him on the inside, and he just went absolutely 70 metre dash.
Yeah.
And just about made it over the line, to be fair, because their winger.
Yeah, made
So that's gone pretty viral, actually.
It was Rugby World, was it? I think the website.
Yeah, it was like the Lab Bible version for rugby fans, something. Yeah. Like, it was there. But yeah.
Yeah. It was a tough defeat, and I think there was a big Douglas travelling party when the second team played another local team, St Jack's, I think it is, in Guernsey, but I think that score was 40 something or other. So, but nevertheless, it was probably nice to play some rugby. I think they said it was one of the first fixtures since.
I think they listed it as the first sort of competitive, in quotations, game in the British Isles, was how this rugby website.
I think the Premiership might have had a week before that, and there's been rugby league.
I think there might be like non, so it's like non-league equivalent.
And obviously, I think there was over 1,000 fans watching it as well. So the big, most well attended anyway in the British Isles at the moment. So there's more on that. There's more on that in the Examiner this week, including a brief match report and some pictures. Right, this week in history, we start. We got the Alman Examiner from the Friday, the August 17th, 1945. And is it a reason we've already talked about, Sam, is why you've chosen this one?
Yeah, I thought we would have a little look at what happened the night that VJ Day was celebrated on the Isle of Man.
So, what's unusual about this front page, Katie? We've done a lot of these now this week in history.
There's no pictures.
Correct. which I think it just looks a bit odd now, doesn't it?
It is, because there's so much information, so many stories, so many columns here of just pure news.
Pure 100% news.
Yeah.
So, Sam, what was the story that caught your eye?
Well, obviously, it was crowds, great, joyful news.
Yes.
So, you had the Prime Minister, which... So, the Prime Minister Winston Churchill's words, telling of the great surrender, were still ringing in listeners' ears when the sirens and fireworks began to welcome the first hours of peace. Searchlights flashed beams in crazy patterns over midnight sky. Signal rockets went screaming out over the bay, and the ship's sirens began to joyful chorus, which continued for hours. Preparing for sleep, Douglas came again to life. Windows darkened daily were light again, and inside in half an hour, people were streaming down the town. All roads led to the promenade.
Oh, Zach, I was there.
But what I find strange is that wasn't the main story this week.
No.
Oh, yeah.
It's remarkable, isn't it? The end of the Second World War
is not deemed front page lead material.
No.
That goes to
ration book thefts.
Yes.
Which was a general jail sentence. On, I don't know how to pronounce his name. Carty?
Yeah.
Proctor?
The fine is... But did you see who he was?
Yeah. He was the chief of Douglas Fire Brigade.
Yeah.
He was sentenced to 15 months hard labour and fined £700, which
is
a lot of, money.
That's what, like £700?
But did you read it? He said that he was fined so much and thingied so much because of the amount of people he'd affected with his crime.
Wow. So he
was there. He said he'd acted as a traitor to his country.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see how many ration books he'd taken, though?
Was it like 30? Yeah, 353.
So, actually...
Exactly.
Yeah.
To be fair, it probably could have been a little bit harsher.
So I take it hard labour is jail time.
It might be like today's like community service.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was, to be honest.
Right.
To be fair, it wasn't just him involved in this. I mean, you got Rennie Proctor, Molly Shimon, May Green, Mayor Maria Holden. They're all involved in it, and they're all receiving stolen goods, of which they knew about. And you know, some of them, the fines are big though. I mean, £700 then—that's what ten grand now,
at least. Maria Holden.
She escaped from Belgium.
Yeah, not the most Belgian of names I've ever heard of.
No,
Maria Holden. Yeah, she was found guilty of receiving 75 ration books, knowing them to have been stolen, and was fined £50, which was the alternative to 3 months of imprisonment. But it just shows you, obviously, at that time, a lot of things were still being rationed, and there was a market there. If you could get that bit of extra meat or whatever, people were willing to pay for it, weren't they?
Yeah, but why would you steal them when they surely must have had the services to, like, just make fake ones?
I don't think they would. They didn't have HP printers then, did they? So. Or scanners. So that's why they were so valuable, and that's why he's been punished. So
for stealing 353 of them.
Anything else catch your eye on the front page?
There's a couple on. You've got the in Japan's, which is an interesting way of saying it was still 50 Manxmen who were interned in Japanese prisoner of war camps.
It lists them all as well, doesn't it? Which
yeah,
is quite...
I'm just having a look at that. And there's actually 5 civilians as well. But I was just having a quick look at this because I know that we've covered a few fellows who fought in Japan and in the Far East during the war. I can't see any that are popping out immediately. That I'm recovering, to be honest, at any point. The other funny headline, bizarrely actually, is Ireland's health remarkably good despite strain of war.
Yeah.
But they talk about tuberculosis deaths being down.
Oh, that's good.
It's always a plus. Can I just say, on the VJ night, it's continued after like a couple of things, but I don't know where, because there's just so much writing. I'd have to really sit down and read everything. But there is just a little highlight at the bottom that says, VJ night highlight, pyjama-clad girls and men in their dressing gowns parading the promenade.
What's the soldier's nasty fall?
Oh, the guy. Yes, I read this. It's actually really funny. So he was going... Oh, let me find... Hang on, I can't find it. Ah, yeah, Ronald Rye went to his lodgings in Christian Road and, being unable to get an answer when he knocked, climbed up a spout to get onto the balcony window. The balcony gave way and he fell 12 feet, receiving a wound on the back of his head, and he was taken to Noble's Hospital.
Katie, Hotel Sefton, there is like a comforting blanket in these troubling times, isn't
it? I feel it's seeing top left corner Hotel Sefton is like when you give dogs those weighted anxiety blankets for when there's fireworks.
They do that.
I think so. I don't think I've invented... I think that is a thing. Like, you can get like a slightly heavier blanket and it's meant to provide security.
Oh.
We're gonna get done for animal cruelty now, aren't I?
You give them a little blanket to keep them safe from ferrets.
It's like a little hug for them.
Aww. If they weren't gonna do this for putting ferrets down Sam trousers, they will definitely do this for weighing down dogs with lead weights by the sound of it. But yes, we'll swiftly move on. But there are other adverts on there, as you say, ones that are very common of this period.
Yep, so we've got the classic Zolak paint for a good enamel paint. But we've got, because we were saying, we've got autumn coats being advertised now. And it seems like only a few days ago that we had our best Easter outfits being advertised.
Well, have you listened to this on the podcast equivalent of Dave? It was only 20 minutes ago.
but these aren't just autumn coats, though.
Yeah.
They're charming autumn coats.
We love a charming coat, don't we?
Oh, we do.
You look well today, sir. Yeah. That's how I can imagine what the coat would say to you. There was also an advert for Lindsay's Aquinas Corner, who had farm boots and Walker's Scotch boots. Now, we didn't know what these meant. Sam, you had a suggestion, didn't you?
No, I can't. Did I?
Suggest maybe the boots come with whiskey.
Oh, no, that was me.
Oh, that was Sam.
That was me.
How did you get us mixed up?
You look very similar.
James Court, just like David Luiz.
Actually, some people used to call me Shakira, so...
I don't know who that is either.
Google it, or ask Jeeves, as we like to do.
Yes.
Right, so let's move on before you insult Emma further, Sam. Yes, the training this week, you said it's a sort of look back at our school's days, but a particular Ballacamine school, Katie?
Yep, so I'm going to focus slightly on Ballacamine because it's obviously the last few weeks the students have been the centre of our attention with the A-level results, GCSE results this week, which Sam and Emma both went to
Ballacamine.
Yeah, went up to Ballacamine because it's obviously our nearest school to the office. So I kind of did have a look more at Ballacamine. It actually started life in 1939 and was originally used with the Royal Navy.
Ooh.
So it was part of HMS St. George.
Right.
Okay.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, and it was used in conjunction with the training given so that the cadets would basically get a full secondary level education as well as being trained up to serve in the forces. And they would typically be around 16 years old and these recruits would be signed up for like about 12 years with the Navy. What, are you going to start singing, Sam?
No, I just thought of a really dirty joke, which I remembered I couldn't tell.
So you'd get, like, the classes would include English, naval history, maths lectures, science lectures, navigation lectures. There were 300 officers there training and teaching, and you would get about 25 to 30 cadets per class, which is, isn't that like a classroom size now?
Yeah, pretty much. Or has it gone down a bit again now?
I always had big classes at school.
You always had small classes.
So obviously this was 1939, so by the end of World War II, over 8,677 cadets had passed through Ballacamine.
Wowzers.
Oh, yeah. So then after, it went on to be a junior high school from the ages of 11 to 14, and then eventually to become the school we know it is today, which is students between 11 and 18, and now there are around 1,700 students studying at Ballacamine.
Mm.
The school was also used as a set location for 2006 Hollywood movie Stormbreaker.
Love that film.
Because I went to visit the set.
Did you?
But not the Ballacamine set. They came to the school to talk about the movie, and then I went to somewhere in Foxdale, I think, to watch a car drive down a road.
But I'm not going to lie, Alex Pettifer is really good looking.
Yes, it had Alex Pettifer in it.
Famously blew up Port Erin, didn't it, as well?
I think so. I thought it was Garvey Haven, wasn't it?
I don't know. I mean, I remember they filmed at the incinerator, which was probably a good metaphor for how it did at the box office.
But I bet it did really well over here.
Probably not.
A weird fact about that, when he was first sort of in the film, he was dead quiet. He was an unknown fella.
Alex
My mum set his bank account up. Because she was working at Barclays at the time.
He played Peter Pan in the young...
No, he didn't.
Oh, no, that was Jeremy...
That was Jeremy Sumpter.
I still have a crush on him.
Yeah. So, when they did Stormbreaker, the guy, what's his face, he had to get paid on the island because of the tax agreement with the film. So him and his mum went to Barclays to set a bank out and my mum did it for him.
What a fact that is. What a claim to fame, Sam Turton. Your mum once set up a young actor's bank account.
To be fair, a lot more people have heard about Alex Pettifer because he was in Magic Mike with Channing Tatum.
That's where I know him from.
Yeah.
Don't you sit there and say you have you've been married for how long? You have definitely been forced to sit.
I haven't. Like, I've only just watched that one with Hugh Jackman where he sings a lot. The Greatest Showman. And that's because of Kaylee, the giant, which we talked about in yesterday's.
I was just about to stare at you. It's Katie and Katie, not Kaylee. But yes,
Arthur Kaylee,
the Manx giant,
who is in. His character is in it.
Yes, he was in P.T. Barnum's Greatest Show.
Yeah. Back to Balcony.
Sorry, yeah. Like all schools, it was full of gossip. And so basically, because we all went to different high schools on the island. I went to Balacameen. Emma, you're a...
QE2.
Was two sitting in for life.
Yeah. So I was trying to think what kind of school gossip and urban legends and myths on the island that all overlap. So I've got a list of examples. Like, someone died from ink poisoning, which is why you can't write on your hands.
Yeah,
Someone's died from lead poisoning, which is why you can't chew on a pencil.
Yeah.
Someone's died from hitting their head from swinging back
on
a chair.
That goes for all primary schools as well.
Yes.
Primary schools as well.
We also had someone's done a poo in the music practice rooms.
This is definitely about a Korean one.
Is it?
So I'm beginning to think this did happen. Yeah. There was one between Grace.
Hang on, whoa. Someone's done a poo. Right, the other ones all had like a sort of moral behind them, isn't it? kids don't play with that pen because you know.
Get hurt.
Don't do a poo.
No, someone's done a poo in the music practice
room. But what's the moral about that?
It's not a moral. I'm just saying it's always going
sound
through.
Like a kid's book.
It's always going through the school, but no one's ever met someone who has done that. Yeah, everyone like.
Why would you admit to doing it though? Do you know what I mean? Like, if somebody had done it, that's where it started from. Why would you like?
I mean, to be fair, based on the fact that only the person from Balacameen had ever heard of this, I think it happened at Balacameen.
Angry teachers thrown a kid down the stairs.
No, but I do know somebody who got a chair thrown at them by a teacher.
I know a kid who threw a chair at the teacher.
I know one of them as well.
Me and Grace knew a story which I was told I'm not allowed to repeat on air, but we definitely have verified that it's true because we've heard it from both sides because the teachers were at different schools.
They were. One was my form tutor.
I was in a class once. I won't say the subject because it would narrow it down too much. But we were, our bad behaviour, it was a rant. This teacher had enough. We'd pushed him to breaking point. I have to admit, I wasn't. I was just sat there enjoying the ride, as it were. And this teacher said that our bad behaviour was a sign of the times and went on a rant about how Chris Evans had corrupted a generation.
TFI.
He blamed all our bad behaviour on Chris Evans.
You're showing your age with that one,
aren't you? And then
we always had another one. If you're naughty in class, Mrs. Whoever is going to lock you in the cupboard.
Oh, again,
no, we didn't have that.
In my sister's year, a certain science teacher did lock one of her mates in a cupboard and got in trouble for it.
Was it a science teacher at our school?
Yeah,
I think I know that.
I know a class that locked a teacher out of a classroom.
Ooh, there you go.
I'll tell you the best one we did. Do you remember that DFS thing where you could order a callback?
Yeah.
Well, every classroom it needs had a phone in it. By the time we got there, for some reason, I don't know why they decided this was a good idea. So we knew the phone for pretty much every room. So somebody would be sat there on their phone on the 2G as it was back then, if you were lucky. And you'd be there going, typing in the phone number and waiting for DFS to ring.
We had one like that, but I can't remember what it was.
So you used about the stories about a lesson, so don't put ink in or don't swallow lead or all that. I remember a DT lesson once, and design technology. It must have been either GCSE or A level, so quite, you know, older students by that point. And one of my friends, who I still call them friends of today, probably wrongly, had the Hoover. Now, they were like Henry's, but on steroids. You know, they were big, you know, they could clear some sawdust up in... pretty
like
quick
industrial Henry's.
He decided to start like doing it, you know, against my arm and my leg. The teacher went bananas and said that he could have caused a blood clot and I could have died, right? So I went, thankfully, immediately desisted. I said to the teacher, nice one, sir, you know, thanks for starting. He was just being a bit annoying and he went, no, seriously, you could have died. So is that, would I have died? Is there a Hoover that strong in the world?
You would become, don't Hoover your friends up, you might give them blood clots and they'll die.
Yeah, exactly. I think like that could be a story that's now being passed down.
It might be. I was always terrified in like woodwork and from DT because it's just always don't play with the bandsaws, you'll chop a finger off.
Someone thought I'd get carbon, either dioxide or monoxide poisoning because I was soldering through fabrics. You know the soldering irons? And someone was like, you know if you
soldering
keep doing that,
fun.
You know if you keep doing that through, because it was organza fabric, which is basically plastic, they're like, you're going to get carbon dioxide poisoning. And now I feel like there's going to be like someone going around, don't solder fabrics, you'll die.
We were doing textiles, and me and him got thrown out after this. Because he was doing like, we were making bags for some reason, we had to make a PE bag for textiles, and we had all these shapes and sort of thing you could pre-cut and print and then sew it together. So he got both our blazers and his bag and sewed right up the middle of the freedom. So it was like me and him were stuck together with this bag just dangling in the middle, and we thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And we got sent to the head teacher for it, and he went, alright, I'll speak to you first. And we both still just stood there.
How did they have to unpick it?
I can't remember. I just remember it being taken off me and it came back. The worst part was I had my phone in my pocket and my phone taken off for the rest of the week. My year was full of, you know.
Yeah. You can't name names.
No, I can't. My year was full of people.
We have the water. The frogs live in Palakamine's swimming pool. That's why the water's so green there.
Mm-hmm.
And when
I didn't know. They have a lifeguard there, don't they?
I've never seen one.
Because my stepson goes there, and I said, oh,
is
I was...
Is he, like, in camouflage to blend in with the tigers?
I was swimming, and he's like, oh, we couldn't do swimming today. The lifeguard was off.
That's health and safety, modern-day health and safety, that is.
I was like, that's... Because they can't have that many lessons. Must be a good job, that one.
Huh?
I mean, there's two things in that. I've known people... You went there. I've never heard that. I've got mates who went there. I've never heard about a lifeguard before. But then this thing, if he's there, you've just never seen him, that's more of a concern.
If he only comes out, his senses drown.
Maybe you have to be hurt for him to pop out.
Like, you know, there's always that bit of needle and rivalry between Balakabin and Sydney.
As the Douglas High Schools.
Yeah, as the two Douglas High Schools. I mean, you know, rival, you know, always on the sporting pitch and stuff like that. But because they had a swimming pool, we always used to think they were a bit. They thought they were better than us. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I mean,
we had a squash pool.
But did you know so King Bill's had a swimming pool? But they were just better than everybody.
But they were private.
Yeah. We had. I don't know how this started, but we used to tell the Year Sevens at the bus stop because like Balakabin needs to be the same bus stop, and we used to tell the Year Sevens at Bala that the Year 11s were thrown in the bins.
Before we started at Balakamin, we would be told, you get your head flushed down the toilet on your first day as like an initiation into the school.
Oh my God.
So obviously, going there, you'd be like, I don't want to be flushed, I don't want to.
So you go to Sydney, it's like the oldest person there when you first go, it's like a year older than you.
Yeah.
And you say like, yeah, this is no problem.
We're not encouraging people to throw Year 7s in bins.
No,
this is all horrible stories that we've learnt from, and now...
But we do know to never draw on our hands with pen.
I mean, that's a little bit late now, because my hand is...
I was about to say, Sam's got pen all over his white shirt.
Yeah, I've got ink on my shirt.
I've also got a bit of the sauce I had on my...
Spaghetti bolognese.
Oh, yeah, Maria. I've got highlighter on my hands as well.
I feel like we're meandering off point now. Anything else, Katie, before we wrap it up, as it were?
No.
Right.
Oh,
fantastically precise. Much coming up for next week, Sam?
Loads. Absolutely loads, as always.
We've got loads of sport.
Yeah. Got planning committee on Monday morning.
Well,
back to the...
You're going to take Emma along, aren't you?
I've never seen excitement like this. We're going to be talking bus stops in Castletown.
Woohoo!
Campsites in Port Eyre.
Woohoo!
And, old people's home in Onken.
Woohoo!
Yep. The excitement is strong.
Finally.
And you've done, I think this is one of the best stories in the exam next week, a really good, interesting story about the RNLI.
Yeah.
And how they got their new boat serviced.
Yeah, it's
without breaking COVID restrictions.
Yeah, so it's all about how a team come here without coming here.
It's really
and also it looks at how they would have dealt with an issue during lockdown when obviously they couldn't leave Manx waters.
Yeah.
But they had to respond to emergencies. So we've actually got quite a bit of interest and stuff.
It's a really interesting story that. If you want to get in touch with us throughout the week, please do on Twitter and on Instagram at IOM News Podcast. I think that's about it for this week. Until next week.
Bye for now.